Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
Or the past, presencing ourselves to right now. Envision silver-white light moving up your spinal pathway, like a spinning silver disc all the way up the back of your neck, the top of your head. And now focusing our attention on the point between our eyebrows. And notice I speak these words for me and for you in the I person. There is one presence, one power, one God, being omnipresent. It expresses not only around me, but in me and through me as wisdom and creativity and unconditional love. The invisible infinite is poised at the center of my being, ready to burst forth into new expressions of itself. God's wisdom and love and creativity and self-givingness and abundant living are revealed by means of me. I am here to live my divine mission in a greater way, to express my whole self. I keep my eye single and focused on God and the richness of life living in God. I let go. I let God, knowing my emancipation from any doubt or fear is assured. Now is the time for me, as a spiritual being, for me to come out of obscurity into my full-blown prominence. I'm thankful for experiencing who I really am this morning. I'm thankful for each person gathered here together. I'm thankful for my world and universe and my relationship to them. Most of all, I'm thankful or life itself. And so it is. Thank you. My topic this morning is asking life for a raise. Now, many of us may or may not have been raised in a particular religion, but because of where we are and where we live, we probably have heard different types of scriptures from time to time, no matter where it was. So in scripture and in holy writings, which ones do you kind of remember, and which ones do you, when you hear them, or maybe you have been exposed to them more often than some. Which ones of those do you really believe? So I want to ask you about this particular one. Ask and it shall be given. Ask and it shall be given. And here's another one. You have not because you've asked not. You have not because you've asked not. All right, my purpose this morning is threefold. I always usually begin with a question to you, and I never ask you a question that I haven't asked myself. And that is, how willing are we to ask? Just ask. How willing are we to ask? And number two, to look deeper in our asking. To really look at our asking and look deeper in our asking. And number three, the value and significance of our livelihood. So if you look at the word ASK, A-S-K, you could use that as an acronym of ask, seek, and knock. So in life, what do you ask for? The reason I pause is just for you to kind of look at that in your life. What do you ask for? What are you hesitant to ask for? How do we ask? Just how do we ask? If it's not a particular person and it's about life, it's like, who or what are we addressing when we're asking? You know, sometimes it's couched in, I wish. Sometimes, you know, when you look at the topic, asking life for a raise, some people may have thought that it was only about asking life for a raise, as far as a raise in our wages or a raise in, you know, our abundance and prosperity. But, you know, if you really look at it, and just talking about money for a few minutes, a lot of times people ask for more money kind of in their consciousness or wish, and they think it's because it will make them happier, and they think it will be more about financial security instead of asking for financial serenity. Financial serenity. And a lot of times it isn't so much that people really want X amount more money, but really if they look deeper, they really are probably desiring the kind of lifestyle that they perceive that X amount of dollars would bring them. And sometimes it isn't necessary that we have to earn or receive or win or inherit more money, but sometimes it's just the lifestyle is kind of sometimes presented to us, sometimes in bits and pieces and sometimes in a whole, as a whole. Sometimes people want to gift you something, sometimes people want to take you somewhere, things like that. So it's really about the, you know, if we think about it, and if we think, oh, I was talking to somebody the other day who, somebody said, oh, that fellow looks like Steven Spielberg. And I said to him, so-and-so seems to think you look like Steven Spielberg. And he says, yeah, he says, I've heard that before. He says, I wish I had his money. And then we kind of got into a bit of a conversation about, so what if you did? Have we ever thought about if life did give us that raise talking now only about money, how would we be and what would we do? How would we be? Would we be different? Would we change our mind about tomorrow or even today? How would we spend our time? How would we circulate that money? Because, circulation is a law of prosperity. It's not about hoarding. So those are all very good questions for us to ask ourselves. So when we look at asking life for a raise, the life that we're speaking about is the omnipresent, universal life force, whatever you want to call it. And here at the center, we don't anthropomorphize that universal energy as some people do when they speak about God. It's been anthropomorphized, meaning making it, I don't even like to say it, male, and probably at a distant place. So could we have a context shift around that and hold that life, asking life for a raise? It's about the energy field of all possibility. Everything is energy. You are energy. Your money is energy. Your thoughts are energy. Music's energy. Everything is energy. So the energy field of all possibility, like that. So asking the energy field of all possibility for a raise. Puts a little bit different spin on it, doesn't it? And it's important for us to have clarity when we're asking. And that clarity, of course, comes from us, really asking ourselves some really good, deep questions of ourselves and telling ourselves the truth. And it also involves giving it attention. I was reading what Deepak Chopra had to say many, many books ago. I think it was Wealth Consciousness in the Field of All Possibilities. He said this: attention brings particle into existence out of the probability amplitude, out of the field of possibilities. Attention, I'm going to repeat that, brings particle into existence out of the probability amplitude, out of the field of all possibilities. So that kind of puts all the responsibility and accountability where? Right over here, on ourselves, not out there. Life is doing it to us or isn't doing it to us the way we would want it. So this attention really transforms the invisible to the visible. And so many times, so many people focus their attention on what they don't want and what they don't have and their problems and worries, rather than what is it that I desire. What is it that I truly deserve, being a spiritual being going through a human incarnation? Many times from the front of the room, I always say this one short phrase: move in. Move in. So in other words, you have a vision or you have a desire, and it's like to move in consciousness. And another way of saying it is, don't look to it, look from it. So when you're looking from it, you have moved in to it, and you get into the experience of how you would feel if it was already all in fruition in your life. But a lot of people are, when then? Well, when that happens, then I'll feel like that. When that happens, then I'll be happy. Instead of move in and look from it, not to it, like over there. Don't make our asking inflexible. It's sometimes we say, whether we're speaking to the infinite universal mind or God or the presence or what, it doesn't matter what we call it. But sometimes it's like we add like a little P.S., P.S. God, and this is how I want it to come about. I think we've all done that from time to time. We say certain things, or we'd like to attract certain things, or have certain things in our life. And we're not only talking about things, it's about life experiences, but it's like a little P.S. Oh, and this is the way, and this is the way it should come, instead of leaving it open for the universal wisdom to supply it to us in probably a much better way than we would have ever thought of. It's important for us to move out of our comfort zones. And I'm not only speaking here about our lifestyle. Asking life for a raise. So what if somebody were not well or sick? And what would be moving out of the comfort zone in that situation? It would look like maybe the medical doctor said, you just have to live with it. Moving out of your comfort zone would be not taking that as your personal mantra and creating that in your life experience. Moving out of that. What about relationships? You know, like sometimes people say to me they would like a relationship, or they come from scarcity that way. There's just no single whatever men or women are around or whatever. What would be moving out of our comfort zone that way? I don't remember how many weeks ago or months ago there was something on TV or on Oprah or whatever about actually making a list of all of the attributes that you would like to attract into your life in a significant relationship, if that is what you would like to have. Not coming from, well, I'm looking and I'm hoping and I'm like that. Moving out of the comfort zone is really getting really, really self-honest with yourself and telling the truth at a deeper level about the quality of life that you really desire. The quality of life. Quality of life. It's the life experience. Are we willing to ask largely, like, huge? It all comes back down to how much we feel we deserve. And many of us, from our little life experiences, from when we were young, sometimes we were taught, or different things may have been said to us or insinuated, that we didn't deserve. Like, who do you think you are? Don't ask for too much. Do you think money grows on trees? Just as an example around money. So it's really important for us to come from a place of deservingness. I was reading one of my old classic New Thought books, and it gave a couple of examples from a long time ago. And one of them was this fellow asked and prayed that he might get to his mother's side before she died. Well, stepping out of the comfort zone would have been him praying and asking for her to be healed. There was another example that a woman on a snowy day was carrying a big package, and she thought to herself and actually prayed, well, I hope I get a ride for part way, and somebody did. You know, it was was answered. Prayer was answered, as the prayer was answered in the other example. The fellow did make it there before his mother died, but she died. So the woman carrying the parcel, she would have liked a ride part way instead of asking, you know, asking a ride all the way. There was a story about an old doctor. He prayed all his life to have just enough to supply his daily needs. And yes, his prayer was answered. But he had no luxuries, and life would have given him much more than he asked. You know, it's like this. It's like, don't go to the well with a thimble. And sometimes we in our consciousness are like that in our life, going and asking with just a thimble. Are we willing to be masters in our asking rather than beggars? Mm-hmm. It's important too to realize when our prayers are answered. I think most of you have heard the story. I know I've told it many times about the flood, and the fellow said that the Lord is going to save him. God's going to save him, and a van came by, and he said, "Move on, God's going to save me." And then the flood rose, and a boat came by, and he said, "Move on, God's going to save me." And then a helicopter came by and said, "Hey, you know, grab the rope." He said, "Move on, God's going to save me." And the flood took him, and he died. And then, allegorically or whatever, he's up in heaven and said, "God, why didn't you save me?" And God said, "Well, I sent a van and a boat and a helicopter." So sometimes it's like, "P.S. God, this is how it's got to happen for me." Instead of, you know, like, being open to perhaps this is a miracle going to be happening. I remember when we went, just before we bought this building, we had no money put aside for buying a building. And it came up, and I said to the board, "Well, let's go and see what X number of dollars we'll buy." And then we came here and we saw the possibility, because this used to be an old Moose Hall, and it certainly didn't look like it does now. But then we went downstairs into the meditation room and we said, you know, maybe there's a miracle that wants to happen here, even though we had no money set aside. Maybe there's a miracle that wants to happen here. And it did. Within 2 months, we were in our building. The yabbats didn't come up, you know, like the yabbat. Yeah, there could have been a lot of yabbats. So just, you know, look in your own life. It's important for us to become consciously aware when we have unconsciously prayed for something that we didn't realize we were praying for, or that we were unconsciously asking for something that we didn't realize we were asking. And many of you have heard about my near-death experience many years ago in the 70s when I was hit broadside in the car by a 3/4-ton truck and I nearly died. And some people say to me, "Well, if you're so darn smart, Gail, and have a degree in metaphysics, how did you attract that sucker into your life?" That's true. That's absolutely true. But I asked for it in a certain way. I didn't realize I was asking for it when I had these thoughts. My husband Norman had healed from a very severe stroke back then, and we had built our beautiful dream home in Edmonton, and I was doing some gardening, and we had just come back from the International New Thought Alliance conference someplace down south where thousands of people gathered, and I'm gardening and I'm thinking, you know, most of those keynote speakers had near-death experiences. They must really get it when they have a near-death experience. Like, they must really get what all this is about, consciousness is about. And I was also using as an affirmation, I'm becoming more aware of my oneness with the infinite. Pow. Guess what? Near-death experience. And nothing brought me closer to my conscious realization that I live in God. So it was an answer to that prayer. Now, I certainly didn't sit there and say, well, if so many of those keynote speakers had a near-death experience, I wish I could have a near-death experience so I could be as evolved as them. No. But sometimes we're asking in a way that we just really don't realize that we're asking. And it's powerful. It's very powerful. So this asking life for a raise, what is the real raise? The raise is in consciousness. Asking life to raise us up in consciousness to another understanding. Asking is for the purpose of opening our consciousness to see, to understand, and to accept what life has and what life could give to us. I think I heard that story a long time ago where, and again, like a story, because we know that heaven is a state of consciousness, not a location we go to, but somebody had gone up to heaven and was being showed all these different corridors and doors, and whoever was escorting him said, but never go back past that door, in that door. And he said, why not? He said, well, behind that door will make you very sad. And he said, well, why? This is heaven. He says, well, if you open the door, it'll show you all the things that you could have received if you had asked. It's like that. So I just want to speak just a little bit about our livelihood, because, you know, asking life for a raise, because it could include that. You know, some people come to me and they say, I just hate my job. I'm just really unhappy where I am. And invariably, in the future, they're let go, or something happens in the situation and they no longer have it, and those people scream. You know? It's like, okay. Some people live from payday to payday. Some people worry about their jobs. Some people think that if they're unemployed, some people think that that jobs are in short supply. I know I had somebody come in. I usually like to speak to see people at the office here if they've made an appointment, but there's a particular person that from time to time has done it several times now, just walked in and wanted to talk to me, and I usually try to take a few minutes to accommodate them. But in this day, I wasn't in any mood for it. And I had coached this fellow several times. And he sat down and wanted to tell me all his, what I call, yama yamas and hama hamas and yada yadas. And one of the first things was he got fired and doesn't have a job. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to make this real short. This is called putting the feet to the fire. I said, you already have a job. He said, I don't. I said, yes, you have. Your job is to find a job. What are you doing? What are you going to do today to find that job? Today. And I'm going to phone you in a couple of days and ask you what you did today and yesterday, what you did. And he actually sat there and said, you have a point. He never really thought of that. Oh, boy. Some people go to work and it's like they can hardly wait till they get time off. Some people are at work and it's like, thank God it's Friday. If they, you know, work Monday to Friday. That's not the kind of attitude to have about our livelihood. I certainly wouldn't, you know, I've been an employer. My husband and I owned a small real estate company for years in Edmonton. I certainly wouldn't want anybody like that working for me. It's good to remember that when one door closes, another door always opens, because all aspects of our life are working perfectly according to our level of consciousness. So it's asking life for a raise. We need to raise our consciousness. That doesn't mean that we're never going to have challenges. Doesn't mean that. Sometimes people say problems, and here, in a more elevated way of saying it, is like, oh no, you don't have problems, you have challenges. So another step to take is to handle it as a project. You have a problem? What's your project in there? You have a challenge? What's your project in there? It's a project. Sometimes I've coached people when they're in situations where they have a job or they have employment, and I say to them, love yourself enough to look and dress for the position above your own. Sometimes people come into work looking like hell, pardon the expression. It's like, if I was their employer, I'd be ashamed. I actually had somebody from a small newspaper here one time come and interview me, and I couldn't believe the way she looked. Not dressed professionally, and her hair looked like she'd just gotten out of bed. Okay. We only have one time to make a good first impression, and it's usually the first 10 or 20 seconds. Be a contribution in your work. This isn't about workaholism, but do more than you're asked for. I remember years ago I was hired, a small airline in Winnipeg, it's no longer in operation, called Transair, and I was hired as their switchboard operator because I had training with the Manitoba telephone system as a long-distance telephone operator. And I was hired as their switchboard, and it was a switchboard, you know, plugging in and all that kind of stuff. And gee, I could do that with my eyes closed almost. So I said, isn't there any other work I could do here? And the file clerk was going on holidays, so they gave me all these tickets to file. Back then they were long tickets like this, and they were carbonized, and they had like four it's all right, it scared you more than it did me. four copies, so we had, and there was big, huge numbers, so I had to file them away numerically. So I did that for 2 weeks, and they realized they didn't need that girl anymore. And you know what happened as a result of that? Well, not only as a result of that, but the chief controller, I didn't really realize it was him that did it. A yellow rose was delivered to my desk every Monday morning. And I never knew for a long time who sent it there. Just doing a little more than you're called for. Some people think that they can reap before they sow. Well, you know, you don't sit on the ground and say, give me some lettuce before we plant the seed. We don't sit in front of a stove and say, make me warm, and you haven't even put in wood in it. If you're employed, if your income doubled, how would you show up at work? In the same attitude? the same level of consciousness, the same frame of mind, same feeling. I doubt it. Move in. Move in. Look from it, not to it. Be integrous in your work. Keep your word, keep your agreements, and keep your commitments. Clearly communicate. Don't complain, and speak to someone who can do something about it. Don't do triangulation. That's murder in your career. Have a proper attitude. You ever been in an establishment where it's, well, this isn't my department? Oh, really? But you work here. Don't be like a dysfunctional family where you work, like not learning from past mistakes, refusing to engage in self-evaluation, and again, triangulation. Livelihood is a place of full self-expression and participation and contribution and personal fulfillment. Can we hold our places of work like that? A place of full self-expression, participation, contribution, and personal fulfillment. Years ago, I think when Oprah was, she was on Discovery or whatever, and they did her whole life. And one of the things that she said, especially when her program shifted from kind of just being the talk show kind to the, I think she has a great ministry. She's got a ministry. But she said this, that she held in mind, and this was her prayer, and I'm quoting, "How do I use my whole life to bring goodness and light into the world? How do I use my whole life to bring goodness and light into the world?" Wow, what a prayer. What an asking. And she was asking, notice she was asking how. And it was shown to her, step by step by step by step. So our livelihood means is a means of support and sustenance and nourishment. Do we actually hold it that way? Are we willing to hold it that way? It was interesting, there was a, just as a bit of an aside as I close here, there was a team of people or whatever, a survey done, about people that had died and people that were Alzheimer's, had died from Alzheimer's. But what they realized was all Alzheimer's, I'll say victims, they call them victims, but they're really not, had lesions in their brain. Now, there were other people that had the same lesion in their brain that you would say, well, they had Alzheimer's, but they didn't have any of the symptoms as they lived their life. So the people that were showing all the symptoms of Alzheimer's had the same kind of lesion as these other people. And what was the common factor that they went and searched this about the people that had the same lesion but weren't into symptomology with it? Do you know what? Three things. They had a positive attitude, they were hopeful, and they were productive. How's that? Wow, that's exciting. So, okay, I'm asking you to ask. Ask big. Ask, seek, and knock. And know that it's not only asking life for a raise like more money, but asking life, the universal life consciousness, the energy that is the field, all possibility for a raise in our consciousness so that we can truly live the life that we deserve as spiritual beings on the planet. So are you willing to ask?
Yes.
Just a couple of you are willing to ask. Okay. Are you willing to ask?
Yes.
Right on. So am I. God's presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power in each and every one of you. Namaste. Namaste. Thank you.